Better, written by Honya Spickshelf and read by Chaos Kiro. Chapter 1. Jason. Stupid, selfish, money-grabbing son of a... Jason ranted to himself as he parked his bike at the curb and stalked toward the building, sniffling back the mucus that wanted to drain from his nose. Ugh, that was one of the worst things about the helmet. You couldn't properly blow your nose. At least the voice distortion would probably hide how raw his throat was. He should, by all rights, be at home, or at least a comfortable safe house, sick in bed. But you don't get to be a feared crime lord by taking sick days. Crime doesn't wait, not even for the notorious Red Hood. Still, did Dobronski, that rat bastard, have to pick today to encroach upon his territory? Jason had given the drug-pushing so-and-so two warnings to stay out of the Bowery already. Clearly, the message wasn't getting through. He'd have to remedy that. Kicking the door open with far more force than was necessary and pushing aside the brief rush of dizziness that followed the activity, he strode into the warehouse where Dobronski had set up shop like he owned the place.
Did I stutter last time?
He asked the room at large, aware of the intimidating figure he kept. Every single person in the room froze as the blank eyes of Jason's helmet swept the room. Several began creeping toward the exits. Let them run. They could carry the word that the Bowery was protected. Not all of them were cowards, though. A good dozen or more were reaching for weapons, and Jason prepared himself for what promised to be a grueling fight. In the moment before violence broke out, his eyes caught on a small, dark-haired figure in familiar stoplight colours. Even behind the replacement's domino, Jason could see the fear in the kid's face. Fear that had grown, not diminished, at the Red Hood's presence. A brief wash of shame swept over him, along with an unfair but undeniable rush of anger. Yes, okay, the last time he'd been around the kid, he'd beaten him half to death. But he'd been trying to save him, okay? Sure, it was a stupid way of going about it. He'd been half mad with pit rage. Didn't mean he was going to hurt the kid now. Clearly, he'd failed at keeping him from being Robin. No more dead Robins. He still believed that. So fine, if he couldn't keep the kid from the field, he'd help him when he was in trouble. And he was definitely in trouble. Jason had no idea how he'd ended up tied to a support post, looking dazed. The trickle of blood dripping slowly from his hairline probably had a lot to do with it. Or why Daddy Bats hadn't swept in for the rescue yet. It figured. He'd failed his previous Robins. Why not keep up the trend? Jason's momentary distraction was enough for Dobronski's men to get over their initial intimidation. Run the numbers. 12-1 wasn't bad odds, even if the one was the notorious Red Hood, and go on the offensive. After that, Jason was forced to slip into the laser-sharp focus of the fight. He didn't pull his punches or his shots. He knew he couldn't afford to, not with the way his lungs wouldn't seem to pull in enough air and the way his vision wanted to darken at the edges. This ended fast, or it ended with him, and probably the kid, too, dead. Not that he would cry too much over it. There were at least 6 confirmed deaths, at last count, stemming from Dobronski selling tainted product. Still, The fight was messy, and by the end of it, Jason's ribs ached, every breath a small agony. Broken, at least two, he thought, before pushing past the pain. His glance briefly met Robin's. The kid looked even smaller and more terrified than before sweeping the rest of the building. Right. No one else here would be bothering them. But Dobrunsky wasn't among the dead, nor were his two top lieutenants. Great. Jason didn't like his odds in another fight. Not right now. Okay, so, get the kid, get out of Dodge, hope Dobrunsky got the bloody message he'd left, and took a hint. Shaking his head to clear his vision, which, in fact, only made him see double for a few seconds, Jason stowed his gun and walked over to where Robin was restrained. He reached out blood-spattered hands, only for the kid to draw back as far as he could, muffled protests coming from behind the rag stuffed into his mouth. Jason paused, moving slowly to unlatch and remove his helmet and kneel down to the kid's level. A hint of curiosity bled through the replacements. No, Tim's terror. And Jason wondered briefly what the kid saw when he looked at him. Shh, it's okay, Jason murmured, doing his best to keep his voice reassuring. Not easy when he was nearly shaking with anger that the kid was in this kind of danger and no one but Jason had stepped in to help. I'm gonna get you out of here. What do you say? May I untie you? Tim froze for a moment, staring at him, then nodded once, face pinched as though he were as dizzy as Jason felt. Jason reached out slowly and gently removed first the gag, then the ties binding Tim's hands behind him to the support column. Thanks? Tim said, moving his arms carefully and touching the bump on his head with a wince. You got anybody coming to pick you up, kid? Jason asked, smothering his building rage when Tim shook his head. Showing his anger would only scare the kid, and Jason was clear-headed enough now to realize that it wasn't the kid he was angry with. Everyone's out of town. Mostly off-world. I sneaked out to patrol even though you were strictly forbidden to? Jason finished for him. Wasn't like he hadn't done the same thing himself. Let me guess. B locked the Batcave and told you to stay home, which you took to mean that he wanted you to break into the cave and go patrol. He let a hint of a teasing smile slip through, feeling surprisingly warmed when Tim returned it with a faint upturning of his own lips. Something like that. He just upgraded security and I had to test it out. Besides, tonight was just meant to be surveillance, Tim admitted. Only you got caught. Obviously, Tim answered, a hint of scorn slipping through, even as he blinked blearily. Jason made a split-second decision that surprised even himself, and certainly seemed to surprise the kid. Come on, then. I'm taking you to a safe house to patch you up, since you clearly can't be left on your own, he said gruffly. Tim tensed up instantly, drawing up stiff muscles in preparation for a fight. Oh, stop it, Jason chided. I'm not kidnapping you. I'm feeding you and making sure you don't have a concussion. That's all. Stop freaking out, replacement. But why? Tim asked in bewilderment. Jason growled, aware he wasn't helping with the whole seeming non-threatening thing, but too irritated to help himself. You're a kid, he finally ground out. So? So, you deserve to be taken care of. Your parents didn't do it. Oh yeah, I looked into them. And B's clearly doing a banner job of it. So. Oh. Right. Jason said, turning toward the door. He got halfway there before he realized the kid wasn't following. You coming? He heard Tim breathe deeply, steeling himself before the kid got up and began trailing after him like a lost duckling, carefully picking his way around the corpses and puddles of blood. Right, Jason could do this. He could be better. Just as long as he didn't pass out from the fever he was apparently running now. Chapter 2. Tim. Tim was not having the best day ever. Getting left at the manor like a child had left him stewing irritably. And even the rush of besting Bruce's new security system wasn't enough to calm his need to move. So, patrol. There'd been a run of tainted drugs being sold to minors, confirmed deaths even, and he needed more data. They didn't just need to stop the bottom of the rung dealers, they needed to catch the brains of the operation. Unfortunately, that meant surveillance, trying to establish patterns, all that fun stuff. Might as well get some of that done tonight. It wasn't like he'd be able to sleep anyhow. He should have predicted that his shitty night would continue to worsen after he managed to completely misjudge the goons he was tracking. Their partners didn't quite manage to sneak up on him, but there were enough of them to surround him. The knock on his head was pure luck on their part, though. He could have gotten away otherwise. Then, as he was sitting in their predictable bad guy warehouse, tied to a post, gagged and almost certainly concussed, attempting to work out an escape plan, the Red Hood waltzed in, all violence and unveiled threat. Nearly scaring the shit out of him, especially when the guns started going off and he had no way to duck out of the line of fire. Still being alive when the gunfire ceased was not nearly the relief it should have been either, not with the Hood coming his way, gun still drawn. Tim was pretty sure he was going to die, and not nearly as quickly or easily as the drug dealers would have made it either. But then Hood, Jason, started acting all gentle and almost friendly. He freed Tim without any bargaining or demands. He was practically teasing, but not in the cruel way Tim would have expected. It was almost more like Dick would have done. Brotherly, perhaps? That was new. He was obviously also miserably sick and injured to boot, if the flushed cheeks, watery eyes, runny nose, and wincing every time he breathed too deeply were any indication. Maybe, no, it was stupid to even consider it, but maybe he wasn't such a threat. At least not to Tim, as he thought. Clearly, even deathly ill, he was still plenty of threat to those he truly considered his enemies. Something to consider, Tim supposed. When his head wasn't spinning from the blow to the head and his ears weren't ringing from the gunshots. Or maybe that was a concussion too? Perhaps.
You coming?
Jason asked. Halfway to the door and looking like he might not make it to his own safe house without keeling over. Tim mulled his options over for a moment, took a deep breath, and started following him out of the building, being careful to avoid the everything the former Robin had left on the floor. They stopped beside Jason's motorcycle and Tim finally spoke again. You sure you're safe to drive? I can...
Just get on, kid, Jason growled, replacing his helmet, climbing on the bike and offering Tim a spare helmet that he pulled from the saddlebag.
Earlier today, that growl would have had Tim shaking in fear. It still sent a shiver up his spine, awakening dark memories, but he pushed them down. Jason had given no indication that he was going to hurt him today. He was just grumpy. So, Tim accepted the helmet and climbed onto the bike behind his predecessor, being careful of the ribs he was certain were at least cracked based on how Jason was moving. This close, he could feel the heat radiating from the older man. Definitely a fever then.
You'd better not pass out and wreck us, he grumbled back, for form's sake as much as anything.
Worry about yourself. You sure you can hang on without fainting? Jason asked, grouchy but not harsh.
Tim poked him in the shoulder, not the ribs because he wasn't a monster, in retaliation, then looped both arms around the furnace sitting in front of him again.
Just go already, he snapped, doing his best not to think what Bruce would say about this. He was letting the red hood, who had attacked and hurt him before, take him to an undisclosed third location, while he was already exhausted and concussed.
Brilliant, really, Tim. What are you thinking? Only he couldn't truly be afraid of Jason. Not when he was like this. It was like seeing the robin he had admired and watched for so long again. Just, you know, bigger and angrier. The ride was nerve-wracking, but they didn't actually wreck, to Tim's relief. The apartment, when Jason had disabled the booby traps and let him in, was not what he'd been expecting. It was homey. There was a well-thumbed novel on the coffee table and pictures on the walls and a half-finished pot of coffee sitting cold on the counter. This was a place where someone actually lived, not just a random safe house. He stared at Jason, not sure if the man had actually intended to bring him here or if he was too out of it to realize what he had done. Either way, Tim needed to get some cold medicine in him and get him to bed. His thoughts were derailed by Jason rounding on him to grab his arm and drag him down the hallway.
What are you... he protested, even as he allowed himself to be pulled.
Your head's bleeding. Need to patch you up, baby bird.
Tim lifted his free hand to feel his head. It's barely oozing. You're in way worse condition than I am, you know, he countered as they reached a small bathroom, watching as Jason rummaged in the cabinet over the sink. Jason huffed, turning to glower at him with a bottle of hydrogen peroxide in one hand and a wad of gauze in the other.
You're not nearly as intimidating as you think you are, Tim pressed on.
Probably stupidly, but whatever. Not when you're about to keel over from that fever. I'm pretty sure a kitten could beat you right now.
Jason scoffed and attempted to stare him down. Tim stared right back, the last vestiges of fear disappearing in the wake of Jason's determination to take care of him. What the heck?
Fine, Jason finally growled, wincing as he pulled his ribs.
You let me take a look at your stupid head and keep an eye on you for any complications. I'll take something for the fever.
And let me wrap your ribs, Tim added, shocked at his own growing temerity.
Yes, yes, and wrap my fucking ribs. Now will you stand still and let me get this blood washed off so I can see what I'm dealing with already?
Tim was tempted to laugh at the Mother Henning, even more so when, after they were both bandaged and appropriately medicated, Jason insisted on feeding him soup from a can. Neither of them was in any condition to properly cook, and watching over him to make sure his concussion didn't cause further issues. They ended up sitting side by side on the couch, nursing cups of hot cocoa, because Jason was a bastard and poured out the coffee before Tim could get to it, insisting it wasn't good for him, and watching National Geographic.
I'm sorry, you know, Jason slurred after a while, sitting slumped into the corner of the couch. For before, never meant to, you know.
He waved a hand in Tim's general direction.
Hmm?
Tim prompted, unsure where exactly Jason was going with this. The cold and the meds were doing a number on his coherency, and if he thought he could get away with it, Tim would have tucked him into bed by now.
I wanted you to be safe, you know? No more dead robins,
Jason explained, turning to gaze at Tim with momentary lucidity. Tim sucked in a sharp breath. He wasn't scared anymore. Not of Jason, at least. The Red Hood would likely haunt his nightmares for years to come still. Either way, he wasn't really ready to talk about this. Maybe ever.
Did a bang-up job of it, he said, rather harshly, glaring at the TV screen.
A pained silence followed, stretching until he couldn't help glancing over at the man whom he'd admired for so many years, who had broken his trust so completely, and who was now, inexplicably, trying to be better. Jason looked about ready to cry, staring back at him, hands twitching like he wanted desperately to do something, if only he could figure out what to do. With his red nose and flushed skin, he painted a pretty miserable picture, and Tim found himself not relenting exactly, but wanting to meet him somewhere in the middle.
You weren't yourself, he said with a sigh. I knew that, even then.
I hurt you.
You did, and now you're helping me. One doesn't cancel out the other, but maybe we could try again?
Tim offered a figurative olive branch. He watched as Jason visibly relaxed, his lips twitching in a faint smile, even as the moisture in his eyes threatened to spill over.
I'd like that, Jason said after a long moment. And well, there was a lot more that needed to be said, but neither of them was in any fit condition to deal with it at the moment, and what they had now was a good start.
Tim turned back to the TV, allowing himself to relax into the couch and trust that he was safe.